Mark chapter 9, and let's start reading at verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he attacketh him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" He said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou deaf and dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him, and he was one as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And I'd like to preach this morning on the power of a father's prayer. Father, I thank you this morning that we are privileged to be together again in God's house on this special day. Lord, I thank you that we have this privilege to celebrate our fathers and to give them honor, the honor that they are due. We pray that you would help us this morning to recognize, Lord, the importance of a father, the importance of that father's relationship with you, the importance of him to his children. We'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My text contains the story of a desperate father seeking Jesus to help his son who is tormented by the devil. And though this father is frustrated at first, he persisted until he got an audience with Jesus. And Jesus did not disappoint him. He took away a different boy than what he brought to Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, thank God. I want to talk to you this morning, fathers, for just a few minutes. First of all, I want us to look at a vulnerable child. Then I want us to see a frantic father. And finally, I want us to see a restored son. First of all, we see a vulnerable child in this story. The history of this young man, we don't know too much about. The history of this young man. We just know what kind of condition he's in now. He's possessed by the devil. And the devil, it's a suicidal devil. And the devil throws this boy into the fire and tries to burn him up. And throws him in the water and tries to drown him. He's under the power and influence of the devil as a young man. And Jesus asked this father the question, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child this came unto him." Here was a vulnerable child that the devil took advantage of. This vulnerable child. There's much that's left untold about the circumstances of why this child is possessed by the devil. But I can just about tell you of assurance that there was parental neglect at a crucial time in this child's life. We do not know exactly what happened, but I'd say there was some unguarded time in this child's life, that there was some unguarded companions in this child's life, that there was some unguarded activities in this child's life that led to the catastrophe of the devil possessing the life of this child. The child does not know, listen to me, children do not know the danger of trafficking with devils. Children do not understand the consequences of running with the devil. They don't know the ultimate outcome of giving in to temptations. They don't understand all of the consequences that go along with plumbing the depths of sin and seeking the secrets of the devil. And they are vulnerable to the devil. And that is why that God has given to us fathers and mothers to protect us in a vulnerable time of our life. Not just to feed us, not just to clothe us, but to protect us at a vulnerable time in our life. These children have not seen wasted individuals and wasted lives and broken health and broken relationships that come by giving in to the devil. No doubt this child was like most children at his birth. There was rejoicing in this home. A male child has been born to this family. He'll carry on this home, this family. And no doubt there was rejoicing in this home over this cute little boy that's been born in this family. Great expectations surrounded the birth of this child. Cute and sweet, but vulnerable to the devil, brother. Are you listening to me? I want you to know that every one of these children are vulnerable to the devil, and that's why they've got a mom and daddy. Because they don't know. They don't realize the dangers that are all around them. Fathers are sometimes prone to think that the children will need him when they get older. And then he will insert himself into their life and help them. But mother can handle it while they are young. But I'm telling you that vulnerable children need a father. In all children, there is a father need. I said in all children, there is a father need. A father to teach them. A father to live before them and model a righteous life before them. A father to pray with them. A father to pray for them. Every child has a father need in their life. The crisis in America is that there are so many absent fathers throughout our society. 34% of all children live in homes where their father does not reside. And statistics have shown that only 34% of all children in the United States will live with both biological parents until they are 18 years of age. And listen to this. 72% of mothers with children under 18 are employed. And combined with the absence of busy fathers, this means, and divorced parents, this means that too often children are at home alone. with no protection, no supervision, nobody to be there to build a wall between them and the devil. It's a crisis, particularly a crisis in our society for young boys. Sociologist Peter, can't pronounce his last name, believes that because boys spend up to 80% of their time with women, they fail to learn to act like a man. And because of that, because young men don't have any male role models, no fathers around to model male behavior, the homosexual community in this country is growing and increasing because of the breakup of our homes and the lack of father figures in our families. We're raising a generation of men that will soon be the leaders in our nation, soon be the leaders in our communities. Dr. James Dobson made this observation in March 2002. Nations populated largely by immature, immoral, weak-willed, cowardly, and self-indulgent men cannot and will not long endure. And I continue the quote. These types of men include those who sire and abandon their children, who cheat on their wives, who lie and steal and covet, who hate their countrymen, and who serve no God but money. That is the direction culture is taking today's boys. And I say, we don't have to look very far that we see examples of this. We see it in our communities, right here in this community. All around us are examples of boys who grew up without father figures, who grew up not knowing what a man's supposed to be and what he's supposed to do. And their lives are being wasted in sin, drugs, alcohol, parties, immorality. It's all around us right here in this community. We are in trouble in this country, and much of it is due to the fact that we don't have the kind of fathers that we really need in our society. Our children face greater spiritual danger than any generation before us. Did you hear me? I said our children face greater spiritual danger than any generation before us. Just a click of the mouse, and they're in a pornographic world. In a pornographic world with images that previous generations never thought would ever happen. Just a click of the mouse, and they're in an occultic world. Just a click of the mouse, and they're in a neo-Nazi world. Just a click of the mouse, and they're in a suicide-glorifying world. I'm telling you, brother, there's all kinds of sinful deeds, all kinds of worlds of wickedness and demonism that's at the click of a mouse to our children this morning. If they've ever needed fathers, if they've ever needed parents to protect them, to pray over them, to pray with them, to guide them, to teach them, they need it now. Life for a child can easily become controlled by hell. Do you hear me? I said life for a child in this society can easily become controlled by hell by just a click of the mouse. Y'all believe that? Anybody here know that? Understand that? drugs are easily available in this society, even to children. Drugs are easily available. The kind of music our children listen to opens them to demonic possession. The drugs that they use opens them to demonic oppression and possession. The kind of worlds that they involve themselves in on the internet opens them up to demonic oppression and possession. And we are living in the most dangerous society any child's ever been raised up in the United States of America. I hope y'all understand that. And then I want you to notice this frantic father, this child who is now possessed with the devil. At some point, the devil got in this child's life and possessed this child. This child, now listen to me, this child that should have been under the control of his father is under the control of the devil. Do you hear me? I said this child that should have been under the control of his father is under the control of the devil. That can happen, brother, through neglect, the father's neglect, or it can happen through a child's rebellion against authority. Children that will not submit to authority in the home, children that rebel against parents, will not submit to the authority of their father or their mother, they will submit to the authority of hell. Do you hear me? I said, children that do not submit to the authority of their father and their mother, they will submit to the authority of hell. This child that should have been under the control of his father, living under the guidance and authority of his father, is living under the authority of hell. Brother, I'm telling you, I want these young people to hear me this morning. Hell means business. And the devil means business. And he's seeking an opportunity to get into your life and take control of your life. I know you cannot imagine. I know that you cannot in your mind, you don't have experience. You haven't seen what some of us have seen. You don't know what some of us know about the powers of hell and the devil. And you think you'd never go that way, that far down. You never experience such things. I'm telling you, hell is plotting your destruction. Right now, while I'm preaching to you, hell is plotting your destruction. They used to sing a song, "Sin will take you further than you want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you want to pay." And I know we don't think any of these innocent children around here could ever wind up in the clutches of hell like that. But listen to me, young people. You rebel against the authority of your parents. You rebel against the authority of the house of God. You rebel against the authority of the Word of God. And you will live under the authority of hell. And you don't know where you'll wind up when you are living out from under the authority God has placed over you to protect you from hell. Well, this is what's happened here. This is what's happened to this son. And this father is distraught and he's grief-stricken and there's a burden upon his heart for his son. You know, it's always, listen to me, fathers, it's always better to protect that child from the clutches of the devil than to try to rescue them after the devil's already got them. And here's a father that now then the devil has got his hands on this child, is possessing this child, trying to kill this child, trying to destroy this child. And this father is grief-stricken. And oh, I want to tell you this too, fathers. When your children have messed up bad, it's not the time to abandon them. They need you then worse than they ever have. And this boy, possessed by the devil, needed his father now worse than he's ever needed him. And I'm so thankful that this father didn't just turn around and walk away and say, let the devil have him. But here's a grief-stricken father who's concerned about his son. I read about a man by the name of Bill Glass. He was started a prison ministry, and he said in a Texas prison with 300 boys aged 10 to 15, he asked the warden, how many of these boys received a visit from their father in the last year? He said, I only know of one boy out of 300 that's received a visit from his father in the last year. And he said when the father came, the son and the father got in an argument, and the father left in a huff and left mad. Only one that came in a year's time. But when your children have messed up, oh my, when the devil has taken advantage of them, that's not the time to walk away from them. They need you then worse than they've ever needed you. And this father did not abandon his son to the devil. The Bible tells us that he brought his son to Jesus. And Jesus is not there. He's on the mountain, the Mount of Transfiguration. Some of his disciples are down in the valley. And so this father petitions the disciples for help, but they can't help. And Jesus comes down from the mountain, and he finds the disciples and the scribes, these Jewish religious leaders. They're arguing perhaps over points of doctrine while a boy is dying under the power of hell. And the scribes can't help him, and the disciples can't help him. And when Jesus comes down from the mountain, this father runs to Jesus and petitions Jesus for help for his son. Now, I want you to understand, when you read the New Testament, no father that ever brought his child to Jesus or ever came to Jesus for help for his child ever left disappointed. Did you hear me? I said every father that ever came to Jesus with a petition about their child never left disappointed. That was the nobleman that came to Jesus he lived at Capernaum. He came to Jesus about his son who was sick. And Jesus said, you go home, your son is made whole. He went home, and when he got home, he asked them. They come running and told him, your son's all right. He said, well, when did it happen? They said, yesterday about such a time. He said, that was the time Jesus spoke the word, and he healed his son. Jairus came to Jesus. My child, my daughters are dying. Would you come and heal my daughter? And Jesus started down the way to heal Jairus' daughter and had to stop and heal a woman that had been sick for 12 years. As long as that girl had been living. And while Jesus stopped to heal this woman, a messenger came from Jairus' house and said, trouble not the master any longer. Your daughter is dead. In other words, you can dismiss Jesus now. Things have gotten too bad for even Jesus to help us now. You can dismiss the master. But Jesus looked at him and said, don't be afraid. Only believe. And Jesus went to that man's home, walked in there where that girl was lying on a bed dead, and raised that girl back to life and gave her back to her father. And this man comes to Jesus with a son possessed with the devil. There's never been a father in the scriptures that came to Jesus with a problem in his children that left disappointed. God, Jesus, answered the prayer of every one of those fathers that came to him with a desire for help for his children. Woo, hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that this morning? That Jesus cares, that Jesus hears the cry of a broken-hearted father over his children. Here's a broken-hearted father. He's bringing his son to Jesus. And the Bible says that he said to Jesus, you brought him to your disciples, they could help him. But if thou canst do anything, please help me. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And this man, listen, the Bible says this man prayed with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. This man was weeping and crying with tears. He prayed unto Jesus. That was a burden upon his heart, a desperation in his cry, a brokenness in his soul. Jesus, I must have help. And he prayed with tears. Brother, when fathers get a burden upon their heart, and they go to God with that burden, and they go with tears, and they go with brokenness, and they say, God, my children have got to have help, and I believe Jesus will help us. I believe Jesus will help us. He looked at that young man and demanded the devil come out of that young man, and the devil come out of him, and Jesus picked him up and gave him back to his father. I'm telling you that Jesus, I don't care how bad things have got. You hear me? I don't care how the bad things have got. I don't care how wicked that son has become, how wicked that daughter has become. I don't care how deep the darkness is that they're in. And I know, brother, sometimes it can get pretty bad. And sometimes we wonder, does it do any good to call Jesus in on this? But I'm telling you, there's never been a problem too big for Jesus. And this boy possessed with the devil, and the devil trying to kill him, but it's not a problem too big for Jesus. And Jesus delivers this boy and gives him back to his father. I'm telling you, he went home with a different boy than what he brought to Jesus. Praise God. And it's always that way. When the touch of Jesus is on that life, there'll be a different boy and a different girl than they were when you brought them to Jesus. Can you imagine the joy in the heart of this father when he walks away from this encounter with Jesus with a son that's been delivered from this suicidal demon? And can you imagine the brokenness of this father having to rescue this son over and over out of the waters and out of the fire, having to keep a constant vigilance on this son, brokenhearted, night and day watching over him because the devil's trying to kill him, and now he goes home with a son delivered by the power of Jesus. I'm telling you, this was a happy father. Oh, hallelujah. He's a happy father. Jesus has answered his prayers. Friday night, in the camp meeting where I was, there was a family in that church, man and his wife had five children. He told me, one of my sons is not saved. In that service that night, that boy got saved. And he prayed a long time, finally testified to getting saved, and in the youth service that night. And Brother Rocky Kirk was there. He got up and he started singing that song, What Did You Do When You Came Out of the Wilderness? Boy, huh? How did you feel when you come out of the wilderness? And people got to shouting and rejoicing, and I looked around, and here come that daddy. His boy had just gotten saved. He had a little three-year-old, I think she was 3-year-old daughter in his arms. He come running up through there, went up on that pulpit, circled that pulpit, went running back out there, went to jumping and dancing in the spirit, whirling around and around that little girl in his arms. I got to looking at that little girl and watching her. And I'm telling you, brother, she was getting quite a ride. But she didn't look disturbed whatsoever. She just calm as she could be in daddy's arms while he was running and jumping and shouting and rejoicing over his son getting saved. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, Jesus can make a difference, brother. Oh, my. Give us fathers who have a burden for their children. Give us fathers who pray with tears. Give us fathers who watch over the souls of their children. And we'll see a difference in the lives of our children.